It is 11:07. Good morning. Now, you know me, I don't like talking about politics too often, and sometimes when we have to, we talk about politics. I think it's important for us to do so. But I also want to talk about the other things that are happening around us, not only in the Western Cape, but nationally and even continent-wise, because it's important for us to have a balanced view of where life is at. If we keep saying to ourselves things are negative, oh my word, I'm going to hell, what's going to happen to me, then that's the type of mindset that we end up perpetuating. But if we look at the opportunities that present themselves, things like, Africa Arena taking place at the moment right here in Cape Town, where people like Christophe Vernon, are working very, very hard to try and stimulate our economy through connecting people, connecting investors, connecting businesses with traction, even looking at startups who have phenomenal ideas and giving them a space to play. Those are the sort of things that we are going to be concentrating on as well. So without any further ado, I'm going to introduce you to the Executive Director for Digital Africa, Stéphane Louis Gras. Thank you very much for your time today. Good to have you on the show.
Good morning, Kino. Thank you for having me.
Now, tell me, I've got two titles here. I don't like getting things wrong, right? So are you the executive director or the chief executive officer?
Well, I think there's not much difference. In some area of the world, you would say CEO, and in some others, you say executive director. So it's really up to you.
I like the CEO, but so we'll call you CEO. Let's just stick to that. So Digital Africa, right, is a not-for-profit initiative. I mentioned the 130 million euro fund, which is about 12 billion rand, which is launched in 2018 by the French President Emmanuel Macron. Let's talk about why this fund exists and what it is you aim to do on the continent.
Yeah, sure. Thanks. So Digital Africa Initiative is indeed a financial initiative representing 130 million euros investment capacities run by the French Bank for Development and Proparco, also whom you may know.
Yeah.
And the vision behind that is that we want to foster, and that was very much a vision of President Macron, which is to foster inclusive development through Made in Africa digital innovations. We believe that what's happening on the continent is probably something that will change the future in a very sustainable and powerful way. And for doing so, we've launched Digital Africa, whose mission is to equip African tech entrepreneurs with capabilities for designing and scaling up groundbreaking digital innovation for the real economy, which is also something very specific, I believe, to the African continent that South Africa has in common with many other countries across the continent.
Now, the one, and I'm glad it's Africa-wise, because we tend to do a lot of navel-gazing here, talking about South Africa and how great South Africa is. But I think we need to realize that we have a continent of opportunity, a continent with a lot of really young people that show some really good promise. And the fact that we also have, and I think in our, this probably plays best for us as a continent, when you look at us, maybe not us, we're not as developed as, let's say, Europe and the United States, generally speaking. But that gives us an opportunity to leapfrog a lot of the entrenched technologies and ways of doing things in more developed countries. Would you agree? I mean, is there there's this potential to leapfrog, do new things? Do you think Africa is more fertile ground on which that can be delivered?
I absolutely agree with that. I think, you know, it's been proven over the last decade, because, you know, when you think of fintech or mobile money, for example, it was invented in Africa. When we look at M-Pesa story, which, you know, marks very much the beginning of the African tech ecosystem. But I'd go beyond that. I think it's not only about leapfrogging existing models, it's about inventing our own, I mean, Africa's own model.
Yes.
Taking into account what the realities are and the diversity of the continent and, you know, the incredible opportunity and talent behind the youth of the continent. So I think, you know, it's really exciting to be able to have a Pan-African approach and connecting all the different dots and different existing ecosystems in Africa, whether in Nairobi, in Cape Town, in Abidjan, in Dakar, or in Tunis.
And of course, there is a race, right, between Kenya and South Africa and Nigeria, etc., to see who the capital of the continent is. But it's healthy competition at the end of the day. You can't have people sitting and going, "Ah, we're always going to be the best." We need to be holding each other to account, and we need to be pushing each other and trying to bring the best out of each other. It can only be better for the continent. Now, I mean, that is very generic. I want to get into the nitty-gritty of this particular fund, this 130 million euro fund that's been created. So what type of businesses in particular are you looking at? Now, you did talk to me about, you know, playing in the digital, the tech space, but are there particular verticals within that space that you are concentrating on more than others?
Yes, indeed. I mean, I mentioned that we're looking at, you know, digital innovation applied to the real economy. So what does it mean? It means that we're looking at areas where the job potential, where the needs and where the value creation is the most important for developing and emerging economies, but also for globalizing those economies. And maybe, you know, like for us, the key and the success of made in Africa digital innovation is at the end that they can become global references. So we're looking at agriculture, we're looking at energy, education, health, supply chain. We're looking at, I think I mentioned energy already, mobility, of course, which is also a very important area for developing not only national markets, but also regional and Pan-African markets. So this is, for example, the sectors that we are looking currently at with a fund that we've launched 3 weeks ago, the Bridge Fund, which is a fund specifically dedicated to the COVID situation, because we think we need to adapt also some of the financial tools and resources and how we design them to the current reality of the pandemic. And I like that you mentioned right before this show how important it is to build like new solidarity and new support system in time of COVID. And that's exactly what we're trying to do.
It is absolutely essential. I mean, a lot of people are hoping to go back to pre-March this year for us before lockdown, and people's mindsets have changed. People are more open to, you know, technological innovations that could make their lives easier, and I do think it's something that we need to fully embrace. I mean, the world's not totally going to change, but there is a mindset change that will certainly assist the type of work that you're trying to do. Now, for those who've just tuned in, we're chatting to Stéphane Eloise Grau, who is the CEO of Digital Africa. As I mentioned earlier, they're backed by 130 million euros. This was initiated by the French President Emmanuel Macron. And this is what we're chatting about at the moment. Now, there is a wonderful thing happening. A lot of time there's this Christophe Vernon with Africa Arena. A wonderful platform bringing people together. Are you buoyed by the successes of what they've managed to achieve thus far?
Yes, I'm not only amazed by what Christophe, you know, managed to build as a community and as an event with really like amazing startup every year meeting and, you know, getting access networks to VCs and sharing knowledge, which is something that is really important, I think, in regard to what we said earlier about African ecosystems in general. But yeah, so I'm amazed that Africa Arena is happening right now. It happened in spite of everything that happened, and it also means something about the resilience of the ecosystem. So, I mean, big up to Christophe and all his teams for putting together Africa Arena in this time, very difficult time of COVID, that will definitely inspire new ideas for and maybe a new world also.
Absolutely. Now, what role would Digital Africa play do you play in the educational space? Because, and I'll tell you why I ask this, and this could be related to EduTech, for example, but if we are to create a pipeline of skills that'll take these innovations forward, and take this continent forward, we need to start at the grassroots level. And that obviously includes schooling. Now, across the world, not just South Africa, we're still stuck with 150-year-old parrot learning systems where we quite frankly, teach a lot of people very little. So is there... And let's be honest about that. Is there a space for Digital Africa in that area?
I believe so. I mean, I'm glad you're asking this, you know, because this is really my my personal belief. You know, I'm also a researcher and a professor, and I believe nothing can change without education, without skills, but also knowledge and research. So what Digital Africa is doing in that field for assisting high-impact, digitally enabled startups, we are putting together a program which we call the Digital Skills for Africa program. It's a scholarship program. What we're looking at is we know that there's a lot of tech talent across the continent. And I know that because I used to work for an online education platform called Open Classroom, which is training 3.5 million students every year in the world, every month, sorry, in the world. And across those 3.5 million students, there's 20% of them based in Francophone Africa. Open Classroom is a French online school, so lots of the users are from Francophone Africa. And I was amazed, you know, you wouldn't believe it when I looked at the data at the beginning, because the courses, the online courses are free, and the courses that were followed in African countries, across African countries, were much more advanced than the courses that were followed in Europe or in the US, for example. So, for example, let's take France. Number one course online followed in France on Open Classroom. I mean, I'm speaking of like a year and a half or 2 years ahead than today. Yeah. But it was HTML5 or PHP, which are, you know, like regular basic sort of programming language. But in Tunisia or in Ivory Coast or in Senegal, it would be Angular, Java, and Python, which are very much more sophisticated programming language. Yes. So I am confident that there's a huge tech talent, talent pool across the continent, and we need to tap into this talent pool and support them in accessing to jobs in the startup economy, and you know, being able to support also local digital innovation brought by young and fresh entrepreneurs across the continent. So the Digital Skills for Africa scholarship program is looking at that by training, by offering scholarship to become a product owner, to become a technical developer, to become a marketing, digital marketing expert, and then connect you with a startup that we support throughout our funds and the funds of our partners.
Now, I know you say that you're a professor as well, so this is not a dig at tertiary institutions. I'm on the board of a tertiary institution myself, but I don't know about you, but I also see a future where not everybody goes to university or to some tertiary college. We integrate the key skills needed to get into the workplace. We integrate that into your secondary schooling, your high schools, as we call it, maybe even actually should be your primary school level. So by the time that student leaves what we call matric, they're able to go straight into, and if we're going to talk tech jobs, you know, become a project manager, you know, doing wireframe designs, or, you know, just becoming a BA and starting right at the beginning, right? And I see that happening. And because tertiary institutions, in my experience, struggle with this. They continuously struggle with breaching the gap.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts?
No, I mean, I I fully agree with you. I think like the curriculum level is probably one of the main challenge for educational system, not only in Africa, but also in like the rest of the world. And we do need to have like really like a fresh and but also let's say like saying, I think we need also a scientific approach to curriculum. Like we do need like new skills and new training. We also need critical thinking and we need social skills. And, you know, like a lot of the experience that have been run throughout coding school, for example, such as L'École 42, which is one of the most famous coding school for peer-to-peer learning. So I think, you know, peer-to-peer learning are definitely a massive change in how we can design and even think a curriculum for the 21st century. But we cannot forget the essential skills that are, you know, basic knowledge skills such as literacies and social skills and critical thinking. And I think this is a major challenge, and we need to engage with interdisciplinary experts, not only researchers and pedagogical experts, but also entrepreneurs and artists and politics, of course, because what we are looking at is building a world that is not broke down in different pieces, but really a place where everybody can live together.
Loving it. Now, we are chatting, by the way, to Stéphanie Louise Graa, who is the CEO of Digital Africa, and they essentially nursing a 130 million euro fund. You can do the calculations, to assist African businesses. Now, you've heard this, and you've heard people say this over and over and over again, so let me be cliched and say it again. Money is not the issue. If people have great access to market, the money tends to follow. So, other than the capital, what are the other bits of assistance that Digital Africa brings to the table?
It's a very good point. I mean, money is essential, but it's definitely not the only thing we need. And after 2 years of working at Digital Africa with local ecosystem, we came to the conclusion that project financing is essential, but it's not sufficient. And we need to have like a sort of, overall approach to all the touch points that an entrepreneur's journey means. So going from, you know, very early stage ideation, going to, acceleration and then investment readiness and going through prototyping, HR and managing resources. And so Digital Africa is, you know, we are kind of like super aggregator of data, competencies and access to markets and access to resources. And what we're doing, we are pioneering this, I believe, with a very specific data-driven approach. So we have data scientists in our teams working on building a knowledge structure around startups and entrepreneurs and technological innovation in Africa, and looking at how can we better, you know, like connect all the dots, connect the amazing partner that networks and, ecosystem builders such as Africa Arena, but also many others, incubators and accelerators, and tapping and connecting them at the right point. So, I mean, we have to use the digital technology also to improve the sustainability of innovation ecosystems.
Absolutely. Now, where do people go? So this fund exists. And the one thing I always find is an issue of communication, right? No matter where you are, no matter who you're in, no matter which business you're in, you could be in the biggest company in Africa. And one of the challenges one always has, if you're doing good stuff, not many people hear about it because, you know, the communication is obviously essential. So what is being done to make sure that this and your offering and your intervention is being communicated effectively to all around the continent?
So, I mean, we need people like you, Kino, of course, to support a better explanation and like communicating around what we are doing. But so long story short, there's different, of course, access points. And I cannot promise, you know, like it will be just one stop shop, but we're trying our best to do that. You have to bear in mind that we are collaborating and working on behalf of DSIs. and DFIs and public funding like everywhere in the world is always very strict in terms of rules. So, but we've managed, however, to, you know, make it, and we're trying our best to make it as readable and accessible as possible. So, for example, we've launched with the Bridge Fund a website called bridge.digital/africa.co, where the startup can test and assess its own eligibility for the fund. So what happened? You do like an online questionnaire that takes approximately 30 minutes. You fill the form, and at the end of the questionnaire, you will know whether you are eligible or not for this specific type of funding. And if you are eligible, then we will transmit and like make sure that all the data points are you know, properly presented to our partner, Proparco, who is operating the fund. And Proparco will reach the startup itself within 8 weeks. If the startup hasn't heard from Proparco within 8 weeks, it means that she is not qualified for this specific financing. But what if we want to take it further? We don't want to leave anybody with just a no. We want them to be able to, you know, have access to other opportunities, whether for training and capacity building, whether for connecting with other entrepreneurs, because, again, I believe peer-to-peer knowledge sharing is key when you're doing what you're doing as an entrepreneur, meaning, like, most of the time, a lot of hustle. So we are very much trying to build a support system. Obviously, it's not, you know, like, there's no free money in general, and there's no, like, anything, you know, like, again, being an entrepreneur is a real challenge. It means that you take risk, you fight every day, and especially now in time of COVID. So we hope that we can be that support system, not only for entrepreneurs, but also for ecosystem builders who are, you know, trying to achieving the same mission as Digital Africa.
Absolutely. I mean, it also speaks to leadership. I mean, your president obviously has a passion for the continent and understands that the continent, you know, is a very important role player, not like some other. We won't mention their names, but soon they will be out of office. And hopefully the new guy on the other side of the ocean will be as open to building better relationships with this continent. But it's good to have people like the French president and people such as yourself wanting to, you know, help us accelerate and also deliver to our potential. So I want to thank you very much for your time. It's been half an hour. It's been a really good chat from my side. I hope I didn't bore you and put you to sleep. But
it was great. I mean, I really enjoyed that chat. So whenever you want to continue this, I mean, I'm happy.
Absolutely. Now we'll stay in touch. And if there's any other developments, you let us know. Happy to communicate it. But Stefanie Louise Gras, thank you very much for your time.